few times, and it is. I don't care what anybody says. It's scary. I don't care how big and tough you are. You hear them locking them things, and them things buzzing and all that, it definitely gets your attention. So we're thankful for the men that do those kind of works and all the things that God does through them. Amen. Take your Bibles with me this morning for a few minutes. Look in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 30. Sister Lynn and I went this week to hear Brother Chris Simpson preaching in a revival meeting over at Grace. And Brother Chris is preaching on the family. And he got into this chapter number 30. And he got down to verse number 21. And he preached on, he said there's three things in the Bible there. It says there are three things. The earth is disquieted. And for four things which it cannot bear. And he began to preach about these things. And that little section says, for a servant when he reigneth, and a fool when he's filled with meat, for an odious woman when she's married, and a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. And, man, he got to preaching on all that, talking about the family, and there's a whole lot of things there. I'm not going to get into that this morning. But while he was preaching, I just glanced down at that next little section that starts in verse number 24. And the Lord began to just kind of deal with me and show me some things, tell me some things. And I thought, man, that's good stuff. So I wound up and going to preach on it this morning. Amen. So I want you to look at that with me, if you will, in the book of Proverbs chapter number 30. And begin there in verse number 24. The Bible said, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would, this morning. Father, I thank you, Lord, again for the day. Thank you again for loving us and giving us this time, this day. And I pray now, Father, you just be a blessing in everything that's said, everything that's done here this morning. You get honor and glory and praise out of it. Save that one that's lost. Draw all of us closer to you. Make us more like you. Help us to see you and your glory and all the things that you have done. We'll just give you praise for everything you're doing this morning. We love you. We give you worship and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. I want you to notice in this little section of verses, and as I say, there's just a whole lot of stuff here, but it talks about four little things. Four little things. Now, if you go back and look at this whole chapter and these things that the Bible tells you, if you read in the very first verse, it says, the words of Agur, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy. And these are some things, and we don't know necessarily who this person Agur is. We don't know that for sure, but we think maybe it could be another name for Solomon, or it could be an entirely different person. Don't know that for sure. It's not important. Doesn't necessarily matter right now in what we're looking at. But these are some words that are given, and he goes through this whole chapter. And what he talks about more than anything is the things that he's seeing, And, you know, sometimes it do me and you good to pay attention to the things that we are seeing. You know, we kind of go through our lives sometimes and you see a bunch of stuff, but you don't pay a lot of attention. And if you'll notice, there are five groups of four things that he mentions throughout this latter part of the section. He talks about things that he sees that, you know, talks about there in verse number 15. He talks about the horse leech had two daughters who are crying, give, give. And he said there's three things that are never satisfied, four things that say it's not enough. So go on and read and see all of those different sections that he brings out. Each one of them has a physical meaning. But what we want to see more than anything today is the spiritual meaning of all of these things. I mean, it's a good thing to look at what's going on around you in the world. And I'm glad God can take the simplest things. God can take the smallest things, the little things, and he can give us some big spiritual meaning out of them. So I want you to look at that with me, if you will, just for a few minutes this morning. We'll talk about this first of all. I want you to know that as you're looking here and you're reading these things and you see what Agur is doing, as I say, he just kind of, you know how you go in a store sometimes and people will come to you and say, can I help you with something? And you know what most of them, nope, I'm just looking around. Well, I'll tell you, that's what this guy was doing this morning. He was just looking around. But I want you to notice, first of all, this morning, as he sees these things, I want you to know that while he's doing it, he's learning some things. And you and I can learn and glean from these lessons that he gives us here this morning. First of all, I want you to see this, that you and I are just like him in that we can learn from our observation. You're going to learn by observation. You see what he said? He said, there's four little things that are little, four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. I mean, he's looking around and he is observing the things that he sees. Now, I want to tell you about these little things. As you and I look at them, sometimes I say, it takes some place. It takes it takes some intentional observation to see these things. Do you notice this? As he begins to talk about them, the first thing, don't you notice, is how he talks about the scope of these things. I want you to notice all of these things that he talks about. Let's just run through them real quick. Ants. Anybody know anything about ants? Say amen. Me and Lynn was over here the other day. She was working in the flower bed right outside there in the where the sign is. She's working in all of that. And as she's working, she came to me and she said, there's just ants all over the place. I just found them. I think they found her, right? Isn't that the way that it happens a lot of times is they find you. She did not see them until, you know, something happened and boom, here they were all over the place. I mean, you know, observation, right? Ants, they're pretty small. And look what he said. He said, they're not strong. Look what the second thing he talks about, the conies. A lot of folks are real interested in what a coney is. A coney is basically what we have been told and through study. It's called a rock rabbit, but it's more akin to the mice family. Y'all know anything about mice? Say amen right there. Don't you hate them when they're in and around your house? I mean, pesky little critters. And the next thing he talks about is locusts. He said the locusts have no king. But they all band together and they do what they do. Everybody knows about locusts. I mean, if you don't know about locusts necessarily, you know about grasshoppers, right? I used to love to pick up them grasshoppers. We'd be out there at Grandma Laney's, pick up a grasshopper, and I'd want to squeeze him a little bit, see if I can make him make some of that tobacco juice. Somebody say amen right there if you know what I'm talking about. I mean, I did, all right? I mean, they got that little brown juice that come out of them. I thought they was chewing tobacco or something. I didn't know, but you know, hey, we'd pick them up and we'd make them fly or jump or whatever we're doing with playing around with them. Grasshopper, everybody knows about them things. And finally, he talks about, well, I say spiders. Wow. We coming out of the house here the other day, and Lynn reaches over and grabs a broom, and she starts, I said, what are you doing? She said, there's spider webs up here. She knocked them down. We came back and go in the house. We're coming back out and do something else, and she grabs it again. They're back. Amen? Isn't that right? Isn't that the way the spiders do? Hey, there's some of you like me. I used to park my car outside. I'd go out there in the morning. It'd be a spider web over there near the door. What are you going to do? You can walk right through it, right? You walk in, and there it is. You walk in, and you're mopping that stuff off your face. And the next morning, they get up, and the same silly thing, there's another one. You can't discourage them dudes. They just come back for more, don't they? Well, what I'm saying is these are some things in their scope. They are pervasive. They are everywhere. Everywhere. I've been to some foreign countries, and guess what? They got ants and spiders and grasshoppers and mice in Mexico. They've got them in the United States. They've got them in the country of Panama. They've got them in Israel. I'm telling you, anywhere you want to go, they might look a little different. They might have a different name to them or something. But, brother, they got the same stuff that me and you's got over here. And I'm telling you, stuff like these little things are very pervasive. That's the scope of them. They're everywhere. But not only that, don't you notice the size of them? That size makes them very secretive, doesn't it? I mean, they're hard to be seen sometimes. Like I was telling you about the ants over with Lynn. She was out here working, and then all of a sudden, here's ants. I mean, she didn't necessarily see them when she first got started, But they came out and they made themselves known. You have to watch kids sometimes, right? Out in the yard and out in the fields or wherever you live. And you'll tell them, now look, be careful, look. Don't step in those ant hills or on those little mounds, you see, because there'll be a bunch of ants come out there and they'll be all over you before you know. And sometimes it happens and you didn't realize it until you stepped on them, right? I mean, they're small. They're the size of them. Oh, well, I ought to be able to handle that. Well, we think so sometimes, but they're hard to see, and sometimes they're all hidden from our view. We don't even know what in the world they're doing, how they got there, right? Their size is pretty small. But I want you to know about their significance. Now, most of the time, if you see one or two little ants in your house, you know what we do? Put the finger on them and kill them. But you ever have a whole trove of them dudes get in your house or get on your leg or get in your shoe or whatever it is that they've got a hold of? Hey, it becomes a little bit more difficult. One at a time's not too bad. But when you get two or three, you really got troubles. I saw a news story the other day, and they were showing some guy in a cave over in a foreign country. I want to say it's Brazil, not sure of that, but it was in a foreign country. And this guy's standing here, and they got a light on him and a flashlight or a light shining throughout this little part of a cave. And they said, "We think we've discovered the world's biggest spider web." And I said, "Amen, you're welcome to it." Amen. I didn't want nothing. I mean, it was, I can't remember how far that thing reached. It was unbelievable. The size of it was astronomical. And they said, "Oh, it's not just one spider. It's multiple spiders. And they've gotten together and made this humongous sized web." It was over 10 feet tall. It was over so many feet or yards. It was huge. I don't want to see anything like it, right? And neither do you. None of us want to see that. You have to go up the stairs in the attic. First thing you got to do is knock the cobwebs out, right? You got to get that out of the way. But I'm just telling you, their significance is sometimes, more than anything, they're just an irritation to us. Ants, they irritate you. Mice, they irritate you. I'm telling you, locusts and grasshoppers and all, they irritate you. And when you get around the spiders, they irritate you, right? Oh, I mean, irritation. Now, some of you may be a little bit more than that. I want to tell y'all this. I'll fess up. I'm scared of snakes. Amen? Yeah, some of y'all say amen. My daddy-in-law used to say he's scared of three kinds of snakes. Live ones, dead ones, and sticks that look like snakes. Amen? And I'm telling you, that's about the way that I am too. I mean, you flinch sometimes, you see something, and it looks like a snake. And man, I don't know. I'm just ready to run, right? I mean, things become an irritation in our life. But you see, we learn about their pervasiveness and their aggravation factor and all that. We learn that by our observations. So you know what that tells me? You and I need to pay attention to some of the things that maybe, as I say, we can learn. We learn, first of all, from observation. But second of all, let's learn some things from an application. Now, what is the importance of all these little things? I'm glad the Bible put some stuff in there that me and you might not ever think of. I didn't think ants and grasshoppers and mice and spiders was all. I mean, what's that got to do with the spiritual thing? Well, there's some applications here that I think you and I can learn from. First of all, notice what the writer says here about the ants. He said, "The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer." I want to tell you, one of those things we can learn from an application is, I want you to get the idea of, you and I need to learn about preparation. You and I need to learn some things about being prepared, like the ant. You need to learn how to prepare for what is ahead of you. I mean, if you don't know what's coming, you don't have any idea, and you don't know what, hey, you better be ready to prepare. Can I tell you this? There are some things coming, and even though you don't see them, they're coming anyway. My Bible tells me that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Amen. I can guarantee you there are some things that are going to happen to you in this life, and they are some things that are absolute. You know, people used to say, well, the only thing, two things that's for sure is death and taxes. I don't even know about taxes anymore, but I can tell you this, death is absolutely a certain. One out of every one that's born will die. Amen. And that's an indisputable, that's something that you can't get out unless the Lord comes. And when the Lord comes, if you're ready, thank God you're going home to be with Him anyway. You're getting changed out of this old crazy world. Amen. But I'm just telling you, you need to understand the lesson, you know, understand, and have some learning about preparation. I mean, you need to get ready to meet the Lord. You need to get ready to meet the Lord. The ants prepare. You know, there's another verse in the Proverbs where he talks about, go to the ant, thou sluggard. That lazy, sorry individual that won't take care of himself or things or whatever he's supposed to be doing. He said, go to the ants and learn. Learn this lesson, that they make their preparation while there's time. Can I tell you today, folks, you need to prepare you. You need to prepare your family. You need to prepare everybody that you know to get ready to meet the Lord, because He is coming one way or the other for you. You need to have some preparation. You need to learn that lesson. Prepare. Amen. Oh, the Old Testament says prepare to meet thy God. I mean, brother, you and I need to make some preparation. You know how you get prepared? You get saved by the glorious grace of God. You let Him take away your sin. You get yourself put into the family of God through the blood of Jesus. I mean, you make those kinds of preparations. So we need to learn that lesson of preparation. But second of all, we need to learn the lesson from the conies. What does it say about the conies? The conies, as I say, these are just small animals. He said they are but a feeble folk. They're not real strong. They're kind of fast, but not fast enough many times. But you know what they've learned how to do? They're a feeble folk. But it says, yet make they their houses in the rocks. Amen. You and I need to learn the lesson of protection from the conies. Do you know that they are defenseless? Those little rock rabbits, the science says that they project some kind of little substance out of the bottom of their paws that allows them to climb upon the rocks. It helps them to stick so they can climb higher and climb and get wherever they want to get. They have something that comes out of it. And they don't have really any kind of defense. I mean, they're not going to, you know, bite and chew anything in half. They're not going to claw their way through. They're not going to have any kind of ferocity about them that allows them to kill somebody. But I'm telling you, they know where their defenses are. Can I tell you, me and you are a lot like them. We do not know. We're defenseless in this world by ourselves. I mean, this world, when you're here, the devil can come, and he can shake you, and he can mess with you, and he can send things in your life. But can I tell you, just learn how to run to the rock. Amen. Learn how to run to the rock. David said that, he said, lead me to that rock that is higher than I, over in the book of the Psalms. Thank God, aren't you glad there's somebody that you and I can run to when we are defenseless, when we are getting battered and beat and bruised by this crazy old world. We need somewhere to go and someone that will secure us. I am thankful that I have that in my Savior. I can't do it by myself. Boy, y'all remember what Paul said? Oh, Paul prayed and asked God, you know, take away this thorn out of my life, the thorn out of my flesh. And Paul said, you know, if God will do this, I can handle it. But you know what the Lord told him? That's not what I'm going to do. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. That means you need to learn who to run to, when to run to Him. And when you do, He's made a place for you. And when you get there, Paul said, I will therefore gladly glory in my infirmities. For I found, he said, I found this out, that when I'm weak, then am I strong. What's he talking about being strong? Through the Lord. When you learn who to run to, where to run to, and when to run to Him, you'll find that your strength is made perfect in Him. Amen? So the conies say, We found our safe place in the rock. Boy, the birds can't get them there. The other animals that would attack can't get them there. When you go and hide yourself at the rock, I'm telling you, me and you as a Christian, many times we need to learn the lesson of protection just like these little animals did, and they find their protection in Christ Jesus. But thirdly, let's look, if you will, at these locusts. It said, the locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. All the locusts get out, and they go and do what they do in a group. They said they don't have king, but they go, and they're, what kind of lesson can we, well, I think we ought to learn the lesson of participation from them. I mean, you and I need to be like the locusts. We need to band together. Do you know that we need to work united? We need to come together as the body of Christ. Aren't you glad that Paul gave us over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, he talks about the body, how the body needs all of its parts to come together to be the body. I'm glad Christ is the head of the body, but you and I have our place in the body, and if we participate together one with another, thank God, then we know how the body is able to work and do some things that you and I don't even understand. Amen. I'm glad Paul said, you know, some of them said, well, I want to be an eye, and everybody wants to be an eye. He said, well, where would the hearing be if everything was an eye? Or if everything was a hand, where would the foot be? You know, all of those kind of things that you can think of, it takes it all together. And I don't know what part I could say that I play, but I'm glad to tell you, whatever my little part is, thank God for it, and it takes all of us working together to get the job done. Do you see that he says about the locusts? He said, now they don't have a king. In other words, he's saying they don't have anybody that kind of directs and orchestrates this. But I can tell you what, again, one little locust running around in your yard ain't going to cause too much trouble. But you ever seen some of those places? I'm talking about farms and fields of crops and this thing, where a herd or a group of locusts has come in and just buzzed through it, and they've cleared everything out. They've taken it all out. You know how they did it? They all got together and they did it. Do you know how we have church? Thank God we're all supposed to get together and have church together for the Lord. You know, that's why I believe Paul says, writing over in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10, verse number 25, forsake not the assembling yourselves together as the manner of some is. He said, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, let's get together, keep on getting together, and as things look worse and worse, hey, even so much the more come together and worship and honor and praise and do what we do for the Lord. Amen. Did you know that's what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to come together. You know what God wants? He wants to hear us sing together. He wants to hear us worship together. He wants to hear us pray together. He wants us to get in here and act in unison and in body and in parts together. So thank God for the fact that we can get together in the house of God and God can still do great things. Amen. Amen. Oh, I'm glad our Lord's still in control of all this. Brother Johnny's talking about, you know, when you and I give, and maybe he and the men from Rock of Ages go, we've got a part in it. But it took us all working together to get the job done. Amen? So there's some application. There's application of preparation and protection and participation. But I want you to think about this, about that spider. You see what it says about the spider? The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces. That is the application of permeation. Can I tell you, as I said earlier, those things are everywhere. I go over your house, and you know what? Don't be embarrassed. I can find a cobweb over there. Because you can come over to my house, and you'll find them there. I mean, anywhere, and you can run. You can get our bug guy, when he gets to working, when he comes through, he's got one of them little old fuzzy-headed things, and he goes through, and he'll come back, and he'll say, well, thank you, knock down all the cobwebs. Well, can I tell you, I grab him sometimes and say, thank you, missed one, because after about you was gone for an hour, I found another. But can I tell you, those dudes are, I mean, they're, as I say, everywhere. You're not getting rid of them. You're not killing them. They just seem to move from place to place and time to time. But they permeate everything. And can I tell you, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. I mean, you think you got rid of that web, but then you turn around and it's right back again. They just keep coming. They keep coming. They keep coming. Can I tell you, that's what God wants out of me and you as Christians. Just keep on coming. Well, preacher, I come to church and I left kind of discouraged. Come on back. Well, I came to church and it wasn't like it was last time. Come on back. Oh, I came to church and we ain't seen nobody say, come on back, honey. We're going to see some things happen. We've just got to keep coming and coming and coming again. I believe that's what God's looking for out of me and you, is to have, I say it this way, there's some tenacity in the spider. I mean, they don't give up, do they? They're little, you get aggravated with them, you swat at them, you knock down their web, you do everything you get, and that's what they, I'm coming back. I'll be right back with another web for you. Amen? I mean, isn't that amazing how they do that? And I don't think so. I've never seen them get aggravated with me, but I sure hell got aggravated with them, right? And I'm just telling you, that's the way, you just keep coming back. You've got that friend that needs to be saved, keep on coming back and tell them you're praying for them. Keep on going to God and continuing to call out their name. Keep on telling them the old, old story that Jesus still saves old sinners, as Brother Johnny said. I'm glad, thank God he's still in that building. And I'm telling you, keep it up. You say, well, preacher, I ain't got nothing new to tell. You don't have to have nothing new. You just keep telling them the same old story. That same old spider web keeps coming back. You know what? A lot of times you go out there, you see one, like I say, you knock it down, come back, you got another, and it looks just like it. It's the same old thing. Knock it and come back, here it is again. Again and again and again. Aren't you glad that we as Christians can do the same thing? You don't know what it's going to take to get some folks to see their need of salvation. But I'll tell you this, it'll just take the same old story that got you. The same old Word of God, the same old preaching, the same old story, the same old John 3:16 that was there when you got saved. Thank God it's still there today, and your people still need to know that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. They still need to hear just the same biblical precept over and over and over again. You and I just need to just permeate our society. Just keep going and going and going. I mean, just keep on doing it and let them know, hey, Jesus still cares and Jesus still saves. So we can learn from observation. We can learn some things from the application. But last of all, let's just say this. Let's learn some things from some inspiration that we get out of this. I think there's some things you can see in here that can help you and give you a little bit of inspiration. First of all, I'd say this. From inspiration, we can learn that being seen to this world isn't everything. You know, I'm like you. My name's not up in lights. My name's not on the news daily. My name's not out there. And somebody, you say my name, they say, oh yeah, we know who that is. No, I'm not like that. But can I tell you, being seen is one of those things you don't have to be big to have an impact on this world. Thank God for that. You don't have to be a superstar athlete. You don't have to be a well-known celebrity. You don't have to be a politician that's out there in the news every day. Hey, all you got to do is just keep on doing what you do. Thank God one of these days in heaven, hey, God's going to know who you are. You don't have to be big in this world. See, there's a lot of folks got that idea. Oh, well, you know, if our church was big, or if my preacher was big, or if my testimony was big. It doesn't have to be. I can remember one time, Brother Donnie Burns, I think it was here. Might have been another church, but anyway, we was listening to him preach. Brother Donnie Burns, one of them guys, got one of them testimonies. And like Brother Johnny was talking about, this fellow had been in jail for 30 years. Brother Donnie Burns had been one of them guys that, you know, he's standing up and testify. He's got scars, and he can tell you about drugs and being in drug trafficking, and he could tell you about taking drugs and how drugs messed up his life, all this kind of stuff. And he got saved out of it. And he'd go around and God called him to preach, and he'd get up a lot of times and he'd tell that testimony. He said he was at this big church one night and he'd been doing that, you know, preaching and telling the story. He said after the service, the pastor came to him. He said, Brother Burns, he said, will you come in my office? He said he went in there and he said there was the youth pastor. He'd met him during the week, you know, knew who he was. He said that youth pastor sitting there just weeping his eyes out. And he said, Brother Burns said, won't you talk to, you know, Brother so-and-so here? And he began to talk to him. He said, son, he was a younger guy. He said, what's wrong? He said, he began to cry and he said, preacher, I don't have the kind of testimony you got. He said, I got saved when I was a little kid. And I've never drank, never took drugs, never been involved with a bunch of wild women and illegal stuff. I've never done any of that kind of stuff. He said, and preacher, he said, I just don't have a testimony. And Brother Donnie looked at him and he said, son, he said, can I tell you, I wish I didn't have that testimony. I wish my life had been different. He said, please do not think that because I have been through all these things and the Lord saved me. He said, you know what? It took the same Jesus, took the same blood, took the same grace to save you as it did me when I was involved in all of that stuff that I did in my life. Don't you ever think that you've got to have some of those worldly and crazy experiences that people do to have a testimony. Brother, can I tell you, I wasn't ever into a whole bunch of stuff like that either. But can I tell you, God saved me. He saved me. He wrote my name above. He put me in His family. And thank God, hey, I was headed for hell. I know that. I was lost. But I needed Him. And He saved me, man. Can I tell you, that's the best testimony you can have right there, whether you've done all this, that, and the other. Amen. Brother Ronnie was talking about that this morning in Sunday school, maybe this week and last week, about how that wasn't his life either. He got saved when he was a kid and, you know, hadn't done a whole lot of ugly and vile things. But God still saved him, and he needed the same salvation that everybody else needs. Amen. So I'm just telling you, don't worry about that. You're too small to be seen. I'm telling you, God can make a lesson for us out of this. And I'm telling you, it'll inspire you to realize, hey, you don't have to be big to be seen. You don't have to be big to be seen. Second of all, here's something else I think we can learn is that there's a lesson here that talks about safety. You need a solid rock to hide yourself in many times of your life. And even sometimes when you don't know you need it, you need it. You need that rock. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. And on Him we're going to stand. Amen. David said, I was in a horrible pit. I was down there in the miry clay in Psalm 40. Talks about where he was at. And he said, and the Lord, he said, I'm just down there waiting for the Lord. He said, and the Lord heard me and he inclined his ear. And he picked me up out of that. Where did he put him? He said, he put me on a solid rock. Amen. A solid foundation. Can I tell you, friend, we need to be like these little conies, these little rabbits that we, rock rabbits we read about. Brother, you need to understand, you and I need the solid foundation that only Christ Jesus gives. Well, I'm a Baptist. Well, big deal, son. I mean, I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, whatever you are. Get rid of that and just realize you're saved and you're on the rock of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Because that's what you need more than anything else. Amen? On that solid rock and foundation. I mean, you need a safe place to make your dwelling. You need a solid rock to be established in the things where God can do something in your life. Amen? You need some safety. But thirdly, I want you to notice this. You and I need to have some strength about us. Look what he says. The locusts don't have any kings, and they go forth by bands, and the spiders take hold with their hands. I mean, you got to have some strength in your life. Even notice about the ants. You notice that about the ants? It said that the ants are pretty small. And it says their people are not strong, but you and I need some strength in our life. Now, I'll tell you about an ant, though. If you'll think about it, I was reading something that said that an ant can lift 10 to 50 times their own body weight. And they're about like me, ain't they? Amen, I can do that. Y'all know that? Let's don't test that. Forget that. But you know that they can do that. I mean, you know, you take, let's say, a 150-pound man, and you see if you can pick up 1,500 pounds. That'd be 10 times. You can't do it. I don't know anybody that can. Wouldn't that be amazing? The ants can do that. But they're awful tiny. They're awful small, preacher. I can just reach out and pew, I can just kill them like that. Yeah, I can tell you something. We need to learn that you and I need that strength. And I'll tell you how we get strength. We're like those locusts. We need to get our strength, as I said earlier, by coming together. We get our strength when we unite. Do you know your Bible tells you that a single cord can be broken by a hand, but a threefold cord gets more and more and more impossible to break when you twine two or three things. And if you go look at a rope, is just a bunch of single strands of cord, of twine, whatever material it's made out of. They're all twisted together. You know why? That makes them stronger. Can I tell you, we need to band together like these locusts, and that will make me and you strong against this world. You know what? One of the greatest things you can tell somebody, I'm praying for you. I've told you this before. Spurgeon said, no man can do me any greater kindness than to say that he's praying for me. That's the way we're going to get strong, is by helping, encouraging, blessing, and uniting with each other. Oh, but I'm doing it myself. You're not near as strong by yourself as you would be with your brothers and sisters in Christ. It takes us together. So you can learn the lesson of becoming strong. And last of all, let's talk about the security. Like the spider. The spider take hold. Listen to what it says. It says, the spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Can I tell you this? Take hold of whatever God's put there before you. Whatever God has put there before you, and just grab hold of it. Take advantage of that opportunity. Whatever. God will place somebody. God will put a position there for you. God will put you in a church. God will do so many things for you. And you know what you need? Take hold of it. Grab hold of it. You know, that's what that spider does. Spider doesn't stand there and say, well, this is the king's house. I guess I better pass this and buy. I'm going in. You know, whatever comes along, you need to take advantage of that opportunity that God has put before you. And I'm telling you this. You read that there and it talks about the locusts don't have a king. Can I tell you this? We do have a king. Amen. We do have a king. And can I tell you? One of these days, God's going to get us to that place where you and I can sit in the king's house. Oh, we may be like Mephibosheth was. We may be on the outside. We may be crippled. We may be not even thought of. But one of these days, the king's going to invite us in. We're going to sit down at his table, and we're going to be there among the king's kids. We get to be one of the family. Amen? Isn't that a blessing to know that this morning? These are just four little things on this earth, but they're exceedingly wise. Exceedingly wise. Isn't it nice to know that God's got some little stuff, but me and you can learn some big lessons from it this morning. Brother Ronnie, come on, let's get ready to sing a song. Maybe you're here today and God spoke to your heart about some of these things.